Antigua, Armenia, Australia, Belgium, Brazil, Chechnya, Hungary, Ireland, Japan, Latvia, Mexico, Nigeria, Philippines, Russia, Slovenia, South Africa, United States.
Greetings, netizens around the world. The planet is once again listening to the technology show for Generation E. Mick Williams Cyberline coming at you around the world via the internet and coast to coast via satellite on USA Radio Network. Well, that was better, narrow one.
Yeah.
Maybe when it happens when your mouth moves and you remember everything.
That was great. Good job, man.
Great. I'm going home. All right, what do you got?
Oh, I tell you what. As always, there's still so much stuff going on Mars. And right now,
it's a bustling little place, isn't it?
Well, they got that helicopter up there. And I just think that helicopter, again, coolest thing ever, flying helicopter. I mean, before, remember years back when we had Scott Maxwell on?
Yeah.
And he was a...
El Presidente of Mars.
Yeah, he was a driver for your pilot, whatever you want to call it.
Spirit and Opportunity.
For, yeah, the rovers on Mars.
And before he left, he graduated to Curiosity, as I recall.
I'm just saying that's one of the coolest job descriptions ever until you get into, I fly a helicopter on Mars.
I wonder if he's kicking himself in the head now that he left.
Oh, I don't know.
He could have flown a helicopter on Mars.
I'm sure he's, I know.
That would have been great for picking up chicks in the bar. By the way, baby, you know I flew a helicopter on Mars.
We got to call them up. Frankly, need to get back in touch with JPL.
Yeah, we need to find out who's in charge.
Mars helicopter. There's a story over Julia Musto over at foxnews.com. Mars helicopter Ingenuity experiences anomaly on sixth flight, lands safely anyway. That's good because the Mars Ingenuity helicopter completed its sixth flight last Saturday, though with a slight hiccup. In a blog post Thursday, NASA's Southern California-based Jet Propulsion Laboratory detailed the events surrounding the in-flight anomaly. Mars rover Curiosity spotted from space as it climbed Ingenuity Mars helicopter chief pilot Havard Grip explained that the goal of the mission was to expand the flight envelope and demonstrate aerial imaging capabilities by taking stereo images of a region of interest to the west. To do so, the rotorcraft climbed to an altitude of 33 feet before translating 492 southwest at a speed of 9 miles per hour, all these directions. It's like, whoa. And again, moving 49 feet south while taking these images facing west. It then flew another, boy, they're going through a lot of this stuff.
Get to the point.
telemetry from Flight 6 shows that the first 150-meter leg of the flight went off without a hitch. But toward the end of that leg, something happened. Ingenuity began adjusting its velocity and tilting back and forth in an oscillating pattern, wrote Grip. This behavior persisted throughout the rest of the flight prior to landing safely. Onboard sensors indicated that the rotorcraft encountered roll and pitch excursions of more than 20 degrees, large control inputs, and spikes in power consumption, he added. So, according to the post, the anomaly occurred approximately 54 seconds into the flight when a glitch occurred in the images being delivered by the helicopter's navigation camera, causing an image to be lost and for all images sent later to have inaccurate timestamps. Well, not that big a deal. I mean, it is, but it's not. I mean, it landed safely, so that's good. If you go over not just that was interesting on its flights. And, think about this stuff. It's up there millions of miles away from here, and yet it's still able to operate, land, fly, do all this stuff, and figure it all out for itself.
Good programming.
So it is amazing stuff.
Now, of course, that's in time with Perseverance. They're tied together.
Yeah. Yeah, you're right.
Well, on the other side of the planet, near, I believe, the equator, the Curiosity rover captured images of clouds on Mars, as described in their blog post, quote, wispy puffs filled with ice crystals that scattered light from the setting sun, some of them shimmering with color. And I can just see Bob Ross going, let's put in some nice little ice crystals in there over the Martian surface. Oh, that's a beautiful cloud. Yes. So this, they're like going all Bob Ross about this thing. So basically what's happening, they had trained the cameras on there, and they're early clouds that are in higher altitudes than most Martian clouds. They hover about 37 miles above the planet's surface and are made up of water ice, and the higher altitude clouds are likely made of frozen carbon dioxide or dry ice. And they went through and they did a whole section of how they like to pack things together and made color photos out of it. And it says, just viewed after sunset, the ice crystals catch the fading light, causing them to appear to glow against the darkening sky. The twilight clouds, also known as noctulent or night shining clouds, grow brighter as they fill with crystals, then darken after the sun's position in the sky drops below their altitude. And when they did this, you can see a video, and they tinted it and everything to make it look like this is what the human eye would see. And if you look at it over the Martian surface, you know, we've had storms here recently, and you know how the clouds get very tight and they're kind of gray and off to the distance.
Sure.
And they fill nothing but horizon. Well, that's kind of exactly what it looks like on Mars.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
That looks amazingly, familiar.
Yeah, like Earth.
Yeah.
And so this is something they've been able to catch with the cameras here lately. So between that and Perseverance and the helicopter, there's been a lot of traffic going on Mars.
Yeah. No, that's amazing. I'll tell you this. For everybody listening out there, too, you've got to go over. If you get a chance, go to mars.nasa.gov. There's a page on the helicopter. It's mars.nasa.gov/technology/helicopter. And then go check it out because it's got a lot of information about this. First off, when you get to it, it shows you this really cool visual of the helicopter flying. But not just there. It tells you quick facts about the Ingenuity helicopter. And that is, it launched on July 30, 2020. It landed on February 18, 2021. That's not all that long of a trip. I mean, just, 7 months, I guess? So not bad to get there. They show you images of the helicopter itself as taken from the rover that it's going up and down, you know, just flying on Mars. Actual pictures that came from Mars. So amazing there. They do have videos online to show you more detail about it. They do have activities, a section over there on activities for kids. So if you want to make a little helicopter, or they got a game to where you can actually code a Mars helicopter video game. Not bad.
Yeah.
I like that. Show you a number of images. They got Meet the Martians, the people that are the chief engineers over there. So we know who to contact.
Yes.
We will be contacted.
One of the things I didn't point out in that whole cloud thing is that this is the particular part of the Martian year where this stuff happens. But if you calculate it into Earth years, It's the second year of Earth. Because you have to remember, in Mars, one Martian year is actually two Earth years, 686 days, Earth days, I believe,
really?
A Martian year.
Okay.
So you take 365, well, probably 366 and divide it or multiply it by times two, and then get that.
Things are so fast-paced here, of course.
Oh, yeah.
Of course.
And the day is also 24 and a half hours.
Yeah.
Because of the size of the planet. But they were talking about that, and it's like, oh, we're just in the middle of the Martian year. Well, how long is that in Earth? Oh, you're in Earth's second year. Just finishing up.
Uh-huh. So there's more stuff over there, too, about, you know, again, so I'll take your stuff that you're just mentioning, and I'm going to go with now milestones for the helicopter.
Okay.
So they've got survive the launch, which is great. Cruise to Mars.
Yeah, that's always a good milestone.
landing on the red planet. Let's see another. Unlock and unfolded the from its stow position underneath the Perseverance rover belly pan. I can't say that three times fast because clearly I can't even say that one time.
It's the RBP, as they call it in NASA, the rover belly pan.
Deploy safely to the Martian surface. Again, did fantastic. Confirm communications with the rover and flight operations on Earth. You know, all these things, yes, one step at a time. But these are the things you just check off. Okay, it did this, so it did this, did this. Let's see, keep warm autonomously through the intensity of the Martian cold nights, as low as minus 130 degrees.
Mm-hmm.
And it's able to survive this stuff.
And on a good day, the temp's generally about 70 degrees Fahrenheit.
Yeah. Charge autonomously using solar power panels. Not bad.
It's also nuclear powered.
Is it?
Perseverance, to my knowledge, is nuclear powered because they...
Perseverance is.
Yeah, the helicopter probably is not.
Yeah, I think not because I don't think it would be able to have the...
Because they switched to nuclear power when Curiosity landed.
Mm-hmm.
Because Spirit and Opportunity, they were, you know, they're pretty much toast now, but they ran on solar panels, and when they got covered, they lose and couldn't keep them heated very well in the winter.
Right. Confirm the energy and power model over multiple Martian days. Good. Monitoring the daily power consumption, solar energy, and battery level. See, they can do this, but I can't keep in touch with my water heater. So
go figure.
It's like, wow. Unlock rotor blades. Spin up rotor blades for the first time on Mars. Nice. Spin up rotor blades full speed for the first time on Mars. Did that too. Lift off, fly autonomously, land successfully. Those things were fantastic.
And the next milestone would be deliver Amazon package on Mars.
Uh-huh. Now, they've got these other things. Yeah, they will, won't they?
A little thing along. Look, there's a package headed for Sagan Station. There we go.
Well, you know what? There's going to be a few logos on there, a few advertisements on these things going up there, I'm sure, at some point. So let's see, five things to know. First test of powered flight on another planet.
Yeah.
Not bad. Built to be light and strong enough to stow away under the rover while on the way to Mars and survive the harsh Martian environment after arriving on the surface. Helicopter weighs less than, how much?
500 pounds.
4 pounds. Now, we're not talking perseverance. We're talking about their little bitty.
I was right. It was below 500 pounds.
Yeah, you win.
One of them mentioned that there's a swath of the fabric of the wing from the Wright Brothers airplane
that
is tucked away in the helicopter?
Because
there is.
Yeah, that's cool. I know I'd read that before, and I know you mentioned it too.
Yep, a piece of the Wright Brothers on Mars.
Yeah, that is amazing stuff. No, I love hearing all that. You know, that really is cool. The Kitty Hawk. So,
yep.
Not bad.
They'll keep chopping that airplane up and be on every planet.
Yeah, and here's interesting. Powerful enough to lift off in the thin Mars atmosphere. The atmosphere of Mars is very thin, less than 1% of the density of Earth's atmosphere.
Yeah.
Now, I will throw out there, too, their gravity over there on Mars is not nearly what we've got. I have to go look it up, but it's not nearly as what, you know, that much.
I don't think it's as weak as moon gravity, but it's a little bit less.
Yeah, it is less, but it's not as weak. Yeah. So let's see. The helicopter was designed to fly up to 90 seconds to distances of almost 980 feet. That's pretty high up there.
Oh, yeah.
At a time and 10 to 15 feet from the ground. That's no small feat compared to the first 12-second flight of the Wright Brothers airplane. And they didn't even mention it right there. Huh. Well, cool stuff.
There you go. All right, when we come back, talk a little bit about Fitbit. Listen to McWilliams Cyberline. William Samberlain with you, 844-RADIO-US, 844-RADIO-US, host 2020 at cyber-line.com, facebook.com/cyberlinenet, and of course, Tweety, Cyberline USA. Okay, so you got some Fitbit updates.
Yeah, you know, everything, they keep advancing these Fitbits and making them do more and more stuff, and they've got a new feature in there. Just what I always wanted. Fitbit may soon be adding snoring detection to its devices. Like I need more things to be concerned about.
You already have a snoring detector. It's called your wife.
Yes, I know. Wife 1.0. I've had the snoring detection for 26 years. 27 years? 27 years. Oh
no,
my
that's gosh. Probably a software update to 2.0.
Yes.
She probably nudges you with an elbow or kicks you with a knee in 2.0.
Yeah, it's like, Bob. Bob.
That's 3.0.
You're snoring.
Vocal.
So
vocal
Fitbit,
alarm.
So article over The Verge, Kim Lyons had said that the Fitbit may soon add snoring and noise detection. Gee, what's noise detection? Oh, boy. So it tells you a little bit more. Too much detail.
How much indigestion did you have at 3 a.m.?
I guess. Let's see. Detection to its devices. A move that will likely please the spouses and partners of the snoring population and be of interest to people of whom... for whom snoring is a sign of possible health conditions. And so, yes, we do have good reasons for having this. So not bad. According to a report in 9to5 Google, which decompiled the latest version of the Fitbit app in Google's Play Store, the feature allows a Fitbit microphone in devices that have one anyway, to listen to ambient noise, including your potential snoring after you've fallen asleep. Not only would the feature be a major drain on the device's battery, the idea of a sleep tracker monitoring noise throughout the night, as the release notes state, is a little creepy. I agree. You know, I don't really like this idea of, especially if it drains the battery, because the greatest feature I like about my Fitbit is it tells me how long I did sleep. Now, you know, I don't know. Do you do that? Do you know how long you sleep at night?
I could find out with a CPAP machine if I have them be able to read the card, because my CPAP machine's rather antiquated.
Got it. Now that
but they all use Wi-Fi now, so they're always sending out telemetry.
Right. Well, they've got, as far as these are concerned, they've got how long you sleep a night. We always, you know, think we slept plenty of time. Oh, yeah, I slept a lot last night. Oh, I didn't sleep. No, this is an independent, arbitrary source that tells you how long you slept. And
independent battery draining arbitrary source.
No, it's not bad. My Fitbit will last about 4 or 5 days. About 5 days.
Yeah, but I'm just saying with the snoring.
Uh-huh. Oh, I did have one issue with my Fitbit recently. My fault, but I got out and went on vacation. That's why we weren't on last week, you know.
Yeah.
I headed out, and when I went out, guess what? I forgot to charge my Fitbit. So what did I do? When I got back, yeah, because it was dead while I was out there. I was like, oh, man, not good.
Mister, so, I need to figure out my steps in the forest. Oh, darn. It's not charged.
I went online, and yes, I went and bought two more of the little devices to charge them. So now I have one at home all the time, which is where I left my, you know, my charger.
Right.
Now I've got one that I keep in my car at all times, just in case I realize something while I'm in the car. Or the last one I keep in my go bag, and that is the my suitcase, my luggage. So now I've got three different places that I've got this a charger. Really happy about that. But you know, that's it's about being prepared. It doesn't cost that much to get a couple of extra USB chargers available,
right?
And so it's working much better. I was very, you know, it's one of those things you're so got a little anxiety whenever you are away and you can't get the devices to charge, you know, your phone,
or anything.
Yeah.
So it's always good to pack spares. Lord knows I do. All right. Come back a little bit. Listen to me going to several.